Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Good morning, good morning. How's everybody doing online? We just want to welcome everybody for joining us. It's morning time, still waking up, coffee's still kicking in, but you know, I don't know why I woke up in a good mood this morning, and then I remembered when I got here and I saw J2, and I said, oh, that's right, the Lakers lost, and so therefore, it is a great weekend. So we're going to pray just here in a minute for another Laker loss this evening, and then we'll have a great week to look forward to. So other than that, you're watching online, we want to welcome you in. I believe this thing is almost over, and I know that we've been saying that since week one of this whole pandemic. Since it started, we said, oh yeah, it's going to be over in about a week. This will last about 3 weeks. I think it'll be probably mid-November when this thing's finally over and we can return back to normal. But other than that, you're watching online, you're in your homes, you're at a friend's house, maybe you're at the gym. Welcome in. We're going to talk and discuss about some awesome stuff this morning. We're going to talk about God's faithfulness, as you can see by the title on your screen. Maybe you can, maybe you can't. I'm not sure. I know what I see. Today's title is going to be Count on Me. But I wanted to start out this morning by reading a scripture together. It's in Psalms 136, verses 1 through 4, just to get this day and morning started right. It says this: give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of the Lords, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who alone does great wonders, for his loving kindness is everlasting. In other translations, I love what it says. It says, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let's pray. God, I thank you. I thank you for a new morning. And Holy Spirit, I need you to help me think clearly, to speak with clarity. I pray your spirit would sweep through every home, through every device, through every soul, and move powerfully. God, let us not leave today listening to the word the same in which we came. God, I believe that you are faithful, as we're going to discuss today, this character trait, this who you are. God, you will be faithful to honor this prayer. I love you. I thank you for using me. I surrender my brain to you, and my mind, my lips, and my tongue in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. So we're going to talk about this idea of count on me, God's faithfulness. And basically the way this kind of, for you to kind of let you know, a little, you know, peek into how these things come about. Typically, you know, as a pastor, I'd like to tell you that I'm on my face for an entire week going like, God, what do you want me to speak about? What do you want me to speak about? What do you want me to speak about? Sometimes that is true, and I wrestle with this idea of trying to figure out what I'm speaking about. But other times, it is, I like to talk about what God is doing in me. I may have said this before, but I'll continue to say this again. When I stand here on the stage, I never want to talk to you about something that I have no idea what it is. It's just something that I've heard somebody else say. I never want to stand up here and talk to you about something or preach to you about some area of a walk of Christianity that I know nothing about, that God hasn't taken me through. And so we had this discussion, my wife and I, just recently, a few mornings ago, about what is God doing in your life? What are you realizing about God during this time in your life? And I said, you know what? During this season in my life, what God is showing me is that he is faithful. That he's faithful. I am remembering, he's reminding me, and maybe I'm learning all over again how faithful God truly is. And so I just wanted to talk about that with you this morning. And what would a sermon by myself be without speaking about my sons? So I love my kids. Obviously, I talk about them all the time, Parker and Graham. Recently, I've been picking up Parker, taking Parker to school, picking him up from school, and on our way home from school, I think it was last week, it might have been the week before, there is a snow cone shack, right around the corner from our house. And the day before, he said, "Dad, can we get a snow cone?" I said, "Son, it's 7:45 in the morning. We're not going to get a snow cone right now. My son will eat a snow cone no matter what time of day it is." I'm pretty sure you could say that for all kids. But I said, "Tomorrow on our way home from school, we'll get the snow cone." And how many of us know that my son did not forget that promise? We do something in my house, it's called Pinky Promise. I'm sure there's a lot of people that have done this. We all know about this Pinky Promise thing. I don't know if your kids are like this. I have one of each. So I have Parker, who if you tell him at the beginning of the day that, "Hey, you know what, after dinner, we're gonna have ice cream," and in the back of your head as a parent, you go like, we really don't need to eat ice cream again. And then you get to bedtime really hoping that he forgot, and it's like when his head hits the pillow, he said, "Dad, you promised me that we were going to have ice cream tonight." My other son, completely oblivious to life. I can swing these things, right? Where you can promise him something, or if he wants a candy or a treat. And I don't want to paint this picture that I'm breaking promises to my kids all the time, so please forgive me. But it's this idea, right, in these circumstances where my son Graham will forget. He can go to bed without forgetting, but kids remember everything. So we're on our way to the snow cone shack the very next day. And he doesn't know that we're on our way there, but he wanted to remind me after school, "Dad, remember you said that we could go to the snow cone place today. We're on our way home." And I said, "I know, son, I would never let you down." And he said this, he said, "Dad, you've broken two pinky promises to me before in our life." And I said, "I have. Please tell me what pinky promises that I have broken." And he remembered the two times allegedly that I had pinky promised him to whether play a game or wrestle or buy him a treat. And I started to think about this, that it really is during this part, this stage in their life where they develop and learn who they can count on and what they can count on. That's when we learn, when we're that young, that's when we learn that fire is hot. Right? How many have ever burned themselves and had to learn the hard way, right? That's when we learn that climbing is fun, but falling, that's not so fun, right? At that age, that's when we learn that plans fall through due to unforeseen circumstances. We learn at this age who we can trust as far as relationship-wise. The movie that always comes to my mind, and it hit home a little bit, is that old movie Hook with Robin Williams, right? The guy's so busy working, and he's like getting out of the office. He's supposed to be going to his son's baseball game, and it's going back and forth, panning from his son at bat, and the pitcher coming, and he's excited, and he's gonna go to his son's baseball game, and everybody's like, "Yeah, you go have fun," and he got so wrapped up in the world, he shows up and runs up the hill to get to the baseball game, and the field's empty, and we find out that the game had been over for a while. And as the movie progressed, we see the son's resentment of his father because his father's never there for him. But as kids, we learn and we develop this trait of people will let us down. That's when we learn the people that we can trust and the people that are going to let us down. We learn who we can count on or count upon, which is so weird. I was researching this phrase of where does this phrase come from of count on or count upon? And what was interesting is, obviously, there's a few different ones, but the one that I could find that I believe was the most accurate, it says it came from basically this phrase of count upon in medieval times. I know that is a very cheesy word. In medieval times, bankers would count upon a counting bench, and there would be a table, right? And it says in Italian that the word bench is actually where we get our word bank or banker from. And on this counting table that people would count all their money on were rows and columns so that when you were counting, you could accurately and more reliably count what it is that you were counting, right? This is where we get this phrase, count upon. And I started thinking, like, God desires to be that thing that we can count upon, that thing that when we know that if we bring him anything, he is going to be reliable, trustworthy, and faithful. God wants us and desires us. Another word for table, right, that I'm going to use today is this foundation. We hear this word foundation in the word. God wants us to trust in him, in his foundation, to rest upon his foundation, to rely on his foundation, and to build our lives, right, our proverbial lives upon him and nobody else, because he wants to remind us that he's faithful. Psalms 18:2 says this: the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Colossians 2:6-7 says this: therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. In Matthew 7:24-27 is that picture, that parable picture that Jesus paints for us. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded, its foundation was on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house and it fell, and great was its fall. You know, I love definitions. The definition of faithful is this, and I love it. It's simple but powerful. The definition of faithful, if you're taking notes, is loyal, constant, and steadfast. Another word for steadfast here is unwavering. He does not waver to and fro. Faithful is loyal, constant, and steadfast. Psalm 104:5 speaks of this. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. Psalms 33:4 says this: for the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. Why is this so important? Right? So a lot of you out here, you're going to go like, oh, I know God is faithful. I know God is faithful. But much like me, because in my heart of hearts, if I'm listening to somebody and they're like, oh yeah, God is faithful, I go like, okay, I believe that, but it's another thing to walk in that. It's one thing to hear that God's faithful, and it's another thing to put the things that we value the most in his hands. It's one thing to hear that God will be faithful to you through good and bad. And in good times, we go like, I believe that statement, but when bad times come, or maybe our behavior's bad, or we're just in a slump, the way that we act is not the way that we say that we believe. It is my belief that we will never fully build our lives on the foundation of God until we believe and trust that he truly is faithful. We will never build our lives on the foundation of God until we believe that he's going to be loyal to us through thick and thin, that he's going to be constant to us, whether we're good or bad, and that his love for us is going to be unwavering despite our actions. And because of, like, right, to even take this illustration further, when we buy a house, when we're going to buy a house, how many people have ever purchased a house in this place before? Right? I remember the first house when I went to go buy, and I don't want to project this picture that I've bought a ton of houses. We're now living in our second home, right? But the first house that we went to, my wife and myself, we went in and we go like, this looks great. It's amazing. We were just so stoked to buy a house, right? You're like, you never thought this was going to happen. God was doing amazing things. And so we purchased this house, right? But how many of you homeowners know that there's a lot more research that needs to go in before you buy that particular house, right? Especially for those of us that buy fixer-uppers, right? We go in, we go like, we think that this is awesome, and this is awesome, and this is awesome. But what we do before we buy a house, if we've learned, is we go in and we test everything. We want to know, right, is the electric, how's the electrical going? What's the water prices like in this area? What are the taxes like in this area, right? We search the house through and through before we actually purchase it. For some of us, to build that foundation on God, because of the way that we've been hurt in life, right? We're afraid to purchase the house. We're afraid to build on that foundation because we have some inadequacies and some hurts inside of us. See, some of us, we've abandoned construction on our foundation, right? On building a house on God's foundation. We've started and we've abandoned, right? We're going to talk about here in a minute why. At least for me and maybe some of us in here, if you want to grab onto this, as we've started building our home on God's foundation, but because of past hurts or current fears or past afflictions, we abandon construction and we are now trying to build upon other things and other places and people that we should not be building upon, right? What I'm not saying is, as we're going to discuss, I'm not saying that relationships or building on other things are not necessarily having other things are a bad thing. We can have faith in relationships, right? If you're married, you want to have faith in your spouse that she's going to be there for you. If you sit in a chair, you want to have faith that it's going to hold you up. If you buy a house, you definitely want to believe that that house is going to be safe and secure and not be a money pit. All these things are great. But at the end of the day, if all of these things crumbled down and fell apart, in your life, if you find yourself in life that you go like, my life is a complete mess, that will show you that your foundation that you've been building on was more on those relationships and on those things than the rock of God. It's a great testament. If you ever want to know what foundation have I been building upon, if everything was taken away from you, if you're still standing, your foundation might be on the right thing. But if you find yourself that life has just completely fallen apart, then our foundations that we're building on might be on the wrong things. It might be on the wrong person, right? Does that mean our homes, right, our proverbial homes, our lives won't take damage? Absolutely. Those of us in here that are Christians know that our lives will take damage. But God is loyal, constant, and steadfast. The first point that I want to discuss this morning, and I know a lot of us guys, this is hard for us, right? Because we're tough. We're tough. We don't want to, you know, you're not going to hurt this thing, right? You might hurt this thing, but you're not going to hurt this thing. Is He is faithful with my heart. I believe, it's my personal opinion, trusting God with our heart is the beginning of our relationship. It is the beginning of any relationship, is trusting somebody to be faithful with your heart. We will never build, we will never commit, we will never say, this is my home, this is who I want to be with, this is where I want to stay, this is who I want to do life with, if we never believe that they'll be faithful with our heart. This is important, right? See, some of us out here, we've been wrecked. Some of us have been wrecked in life, whether it was from a parent. Maybe growing up, you had some not so okay parents, which seems to be the norm in my generation, and hopefully not in the generation to come. My wife and I discuss this all the time, that although, you know, we had maybe a rougher upbringing, our desire is to have a brighter future and a brighter upbringing for our children, right? That's the goal. But some of us, we had family issues. Some of you out there, your heart's been wrecked because you've at some point in time have felt abandoned or rejected. Maybe at some point in time in your youth, you were abused. Maybe it wasn't even in your youth. Maybe it was a relationship, you were abused. Maybe it was mental or physical, right? Or you were abandoned, rejected again. Maybe it was a spouse. This is why we call this in marriage, we call it being unfaithful. There's a reason to this. Which means that they weren't loyal, they weren't constant, they weren't unwavering. When things got rocky, they weren't constant, they bailed. And can I tell you, this is I don't want to paint this picture, but I struggle with some of these things on here still in my heart, even as a Christian with God. For some of us, our hearts were wrecked by friends that we thought were our best friends that we could confide in, and they turned our back, or they turned their backs on us. So what do we do now? Now that we feel that way, right? Now that we felt that way, every relationship that we've ever been in, we've never tried to build a house. We've bought a proverbial motorhome, per se, so we could move from place to place, because we know that if we settle, in the back of our mind, we're not settling for long. We want to be able to easily pick up and move. And what's crazy is, as human beings, we resort back to what's familiar more often than not. We find ourselves in these same old situations, same old relationships, same old places, because we feel like we can control them. And we know that the pain that those have brought us already, the fear of jumping in or relying on God or relying on church or anything like that, we don't know what that rejection feels like. I know what this rejection or abandonment or this hurt feels like. So I'm going to continue to go back to these familiar places, because at least I know what that sting feels like, and I know I can kind of control that situation. Some things are coming up, as I said, in my life where my wife and I are walking through this in my brain, where I don't let a lot of people in. I, if you've ever ran into me and you thought I've been a jerk before, please forgive me. But the idea is I really have very few close friends, because I know if we become really good friends, right, you may do something to hurt me. Right? I took this into my marriage in the first couple years. I came out into marriage and I thought, like, oh, well, things were bad. Well, let's just call it quits. And then the whole idea of this Christian covenant thing was brought to my attention, that you can't call it quits. Praise God for God's intention of Christian marriage. Still other of us, we struggle with the view of what people think of us when we fail or when we sin, and we correlate this with God. And that's why we're afraid to really build this foundation, because we don't believe that he's going to be loyal, constant, and steadfast to us because of what we are and how we behave, right? Maybe that's because your parents were super disappointed with you, or you had spouses that got onto you. I know now with my kids, I feel so bad, and I'm working on this, so don't judge me. But whenever Parker and Graham, they'll make a mistake or something, they'll immediately look at me. And if my face changes at all, like I'm upset, which I can't hide, if I'm upset, you're going to see Shane upset. There's no way. You're not going to get one. It's just, and you can see that, and I'm developing in them this fear of disappointing me. And what that is that's not going to bring my kids closer to me. That's going to make my kids hide from me, right? Some of us are doing that. We're grown adults. Some of you are 40, 50, 60 years old in here, and we're still struggling with this heart that doesn't want to believe at its core that God is faithful. It's no wonder we find our hearts wandering so often. I've been listening to this song lately, and again, I told you that this season in life, this is kind of what God is revealing to me, his faithfulness. This song is written from two perspectives. It's this guy that's basically talking to God, and then in the bridge, God is speaking back and letting him know how he feels about this man. It says this, the man writes, "You say that you love me. Don't say that you love me, because I don't even know how to be yours. You say that you want me. Don't say that you want me, because I don't know how to be yours." It says, "I still act like an orphan, I guess. My hard heart breaks to confess that even while you hold me as I cry on the floor, I still don't know how to be yours." God's response to this man is, says, so love me or hate me, I'm not going anywhere. You could leave me or take me, you still bear my signature. Know me or not, seen or forgotten, I'm not walking out on you. I'm not walking out on you. For some of us in this place, our hearts, we've given God this much. Some of us have given God half of our heart. Some of us have given God three quarters of our heart, and so on and so forth. God desires that we give him all of our heart. He basically is saying to us, trust me with your heart, because I will be faithful to you. I will be loyal, constant, and unwavering. He says, I know you felt abandoned. I know in life that people have let you down. People have left you. People have rejected you. People have made you feel like you're not good enough. Well, let me tell you what God says about it. In Psalms 94, 14, this is what God's response. The Lord will not abandon his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance. In Deuteronomy 31, 8, he says this, the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. God says, I know you've been hurt. I know that you've just had a broken heart or you've lost. I know those things about you. And I know because of those things, your heart, you don't want to give it completely. In Psalms 34, 18, he says this, the Lord, I am near. He wants you to know that I'm near to you. If you're hurt, if you're in pain, if you've lost, I am near to the brokenhearted, and I save those who are crushed in spirit. Maybe you're a person who's dealt with anger and bitterness, and you go like, the only person I can't go to is God, because he thinks that my anger and bitterness is sin, right? And so I can't go to him about it, and so I just hold on to this whole thing. So I'm just going to keep it and push it way down deep inside. Psalms 55, 22, God says this, cast your burden upon me, and I will sustain you. I will never allow you to be shaken. Cast whatever you're holding on to, whatever's hurt inside there, cast it upon me, give it to me, bring it to me daily, because I want to carry it for you. Maybe again, you have that sin and you feel like, I can't give my life completely to God. I can't even begin. Every time I try to build on God's foundation, every time I try to start this Christian walk, every time I try to start being this son or daughter of God, the sin rears back up, and day after day, week after week, month after month, this thing keeps getting me and I keep falling and I can't begin to build because this condemnation continues to tell me that I'm not allowed on this property. God wants to tell you in 1 John, he wants to say this, if you confess your sins, I am faithful to forgive you and cleanse you from all of that unrighteousness. There's other us in here that we want to do things our own way. We've been doing our own things our own way for a really long time. We want to do things our own way. And maybe we're like that prodigal son where instead of going back, we decide, oh, I'd rather live in this junk over here than go back because I'm ashamed to go back. Or maybe we don't think God wants us anymore. In 2 Timothy, God wants to tell you this. In 2 Timothy 2:13, it says that even if you're faithless, even if you lose faith, even if you're not loyal, even if you're wavering, even if you're not constant, guess who is? I, the God, your Father, the one who created you, that knows you more intimately than anybody else in the entire world, will continue to still be loyal, constant, and unwavering in my love for you. Because when we begin to trust God's faithfulness, I believe that's when we can truly begin to build a confident, sustainable, enjoyable Christian walk in God. Let me say this caveat. Being faithful with our hearts, God being faithful with our hearts, this idea that God's going to be loyal, constant, right, and steadfast with taking care of our hearts, right, basically our emotions, our feelings, things of that nature, it doesn't mean we will never experience pain, heartbreak, or loss. I don't know if any of you guys can relate with me, but I've never experienced more heartbreak and pain than I have since I've been a Christian. I know that might not psych people up out there that aren't Christians. They're like, wait a minute, I'm supposed to do what afterwards? You want me to give my life over to this? Like, no, thank you. We can't blame God for those things. Life is life. What God says is that I'm going to be with you through them. There's an old poem, and it might be a little cheesy, and I'm not going to read the poem for you, as we already read a song, but it's the footprint story. Some of you may have heard this before, but it's this person that goes to heaven at the end of their life, and they're looking back, and their life is illustrated as footprints in the sand, and there's two sets, and the person goes, God, I see you walking with me my entire life. But during the stretch of time where I was having trouble in my marriage, or I was struggling with addiction, or I had lost a loved one, or I was continuing to have these problems in my life, I only see one set of footprints in the sand. How come you left me when I needed you the most? A lot of us feel that way. A lot of us feel when pain and trials and stuff come in our lives, that God could not be any farther from us. And then we go like, well, God's just like everybody else in my life. They've left, or they've abandoned, or they've kind of given up. And God tells this person, no, you're misunderstanding. When you got to that place where you were going through that pain, where you were going through that loss, where you were going through that heartache, that's when I carried you through those things. Hebrews 10:23. Says this, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Lamentations 3:22-23. A lot of you, I say Lamentations, and you go like, I don't even know. I didn't even know that was a book in the Bible, right? Be real. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Some of us need to remember that and remind ourselves that God is the same. He is unwavering. He doesn't change. He is loyal, constant, and steadfast. I don't have time, a whole lot of time, for the second point this morning, but the second one is this, is he is faithful to provide. A lot of us, when it comes time for the rubber to meet the road, right, and that bill's due, or, man, where are you, God? We don't have any food in the cabinets. It's important for us to remember that God will provide. Maybe you're out there and maybe you're watching online and you're like, I'm going to be single forever. God's never going to bring me a wife, right? Or God's never going to bring me a husband. I just turned 30 and my biological clock is ticking, and it's going to be, you know, I'm going to be gray haired and old and I'm never going to find anybody. We know that struggle. I deal with young adults all the time. They get 21 and they feel like they're going to be alone forever. It doesn't change. God will provide. God is faithful to provide. I love this illustration in closing. A missionary statesman, Hudson Taylor, had complete trust in God's faithfulness. In his journal, he wrote, "Our Heavenly Father is a very experienced one. He knows very well that his children wake up with a good appetite every morning. He sustained 3 million Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. We do not expect he'll send 3 million missionaries to China, but if he did, he would have ample means to sustain them all. Depend on it. God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply." Matthew 6:8 says this, "So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." It's crazy how God provides. I remember I was having a conversation as I was driving one of my young adults. I was giving them a ride a few years back, and we were discussing this idea of praying for finances and things of that nature. And he said, "You know what? I don't pray for finances anymore. I started praying for provision." And he said this because God works in mysterious and crazy, unconventional ways. If you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you realize this, that God doesn't just work the way that we think he should work. A few weeks back, we had somebody take some money out of our account, you know, this fraud thing. They took out some money out of our account, right? And we're just like, dang it, man, like that stinks, right? And then like 2 days later, my wife got in a car wreck, someone rear-ended her from behind. And you're like this idea of going like, okay, God, anything else you want to get out of the way, or we continue with the snowball, or no, is this it? And we handled it pretty well, and we prayed, and we're like, okay, God's gonna handle this. God's gonna do something. And what was so crazy was that due to the accident, and you can believe that this was God or not, the insurance from the other company, from the other driver, because it was their fault, sent us almost exactly the same amount of money that was stolen out of our account a few days later, sent us almost the same exact amount of money in check form a week later due to the accident, and our car is currently getting fixed at no charge to us. And I go like, you know what, God? Right? He's faithful to provide. Man, can you imagine being in a relationship where you 100% trust that that person is going to be there for you through thick and thin, is going to provide anything that you need, is going to listen to any hurt and pain that you have, is going to walk with you through any struggle that you're going through? Can you imagine having a relationship with that? Can you imagine how great of a relationship, how great of a thing that would be? That's the relationship God wants to have with us. Yet it's because of the way that we've taken care of our heart and other people have in our lives that stops us from being 100% all in with God on His foundation, because we have fears. My encouragement for you this morning is to take those fears and those things that you have in your heart and open up and tell God, these are the things, this is why, this is what I have in here. I realized, well, my wife kind of brought it to my attention, that some of the hurts from my past, I'm not that guy that goes like, oh, my parents hurt me. You know what I mean? I'm not that dude. But what I have done that I've realized lately since stuff has been coming out is what I've done is I've pretended like those don't exist. And I've written those people off. God says, I don't want you to just pretend like it doesn't exist. I don't want you to just push it down. I don't want you to just write people off. I want you to let that hurt happen and give it to me so we can heal it. So then you and I can have a relationship with no distractions, with nothing in the middle of it. You and I, you believing that I'm faithful to your heart and I'm faithful to provide and that I'm faithful to love you. And so this relationship can work and work amazingly. Amen. I better stop before the back room comes out and tackles me. Lord, it's early service, God. Coffee still got to set in. But Lord, the point is, I believe that you're speaking to me. Is that you want all of us. You want my whole heart. You want all of us to just give you our whole heart. Because you got a great life intended for us. There is an amazing relationship to be had with you. Some of us think that that's just a dream. Some of us think that that just happens in movies. But God, you desire to have a relationship with us that's that good. I pray for the people out there that do have broken hearts, that do have wounds that need healing. God, I pray that you would give them the strength, give them the courage to bring those wounds to you, God, so that you can start healing them. I love you, Lord. I thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for being loyal to me even when I'm not loyal. Thank you for being constant even when I come and go. I thank you for being steadfast, Lord, when I waver. You are an amazing God. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen, amen. You guys have a great rest of your day. Go Chiefs.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love.